Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Houston standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at East River 9. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
East River 9 inside the River House. Enjoying some great food, great drinks, good spot to hang out. Weather's good. Good spot to play a little bit of golf as well. Let's go out to the HRP guest line. Welcome in our dear friend, Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports. The reason we like him so much because he makes us money each and every week, whether it's the college game, whether it's the NFL game. We're going to start off in college. An old Southwest Conference rival, Texas and Arkansas. I remember when this was the number one versus number two game. The president showed up on a helicopter. That's how old I am. I think I watched it on TV. But Texas minus 10 here, Lee, is the number two big for the fighting Bobby Petrino's.
Come on, let's be honest. You weren't even a thought when this game was played.
You're right, and I wasn't. I saw highlights.
Yeah.
I think my history professor showed it to us, actually.
So I did actually see, ready for this? So my uncle used to be a scout for the Cowboys, and he used to fly me in from Miami to Dallas, and we would go to different games, either the Texas OU game each week or a big game. I was little saw Steve Little and Russell Erksleben go head to head, two guys that could bomb it from 60 yards back in the day. So a lot of passion on both of these teams. Give Arkansas credit. They keep showing up. They just can't figure out how to win games. They score and they give up more. And I expect a bounce back here for Arch Manning and the Longhorns against the number 108th rated pass defense. You want to watch why they lose games. Watch the last two possessions of the game. Arkansas, their pass rushers getting out of their lane. They allow like a 50-yard run. Guys in space catching the ball near the sidelines. Just can't make tackles. I mean, just not smart and not talented. That's a bad combination here. Texas gets back on track here. They win and cover 38-24.
Damn, stupid and slow is no way to go through life, Lee. No. Will Kunkel here. Oklahoma, Mizzou. Oklahoma laying 7.5. What's your take here? Both teams have been really inconsistent this year.
Yeah, they have. And, you know, Oklahoma's coming off that huge upset. Their defense was incredible at Alabama here. Now, all of a sudden, pressure's off Missouri. They can't beat anyone good. Haven't done it for years. Every year they're 5-0, 6-0. They end up 8-4. This could be the game. And why do I say that? You know, everyone's talking about Texas A&M still. Texas A&M's comeback was incredible. That story, Ahmad Hardy running for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns against Mississippi State would have been the story. This guy is at a different level right now. And the Missouri defense, another 3 turnovers. They've already faced, you know, the Texas A&M quarterback, the Vandy quarterback, 2 dual-threat quarterbacks. I don't think John Mateer is going to stress them out facing this guy here. Nothing to lose. I like Missouri here, plus the points. I think Oklahoma escapes 24-20.
Big football game in the cities on Saturday, Lee. TDECU Stadium, you get your tickets, uhcougars.com/tickets, 713-GO-COUGS. Houston looking for win number 9. They welcome in Sonny Dykes, Horned Frogs of TCU. What do you think of this major Big 12 matchup?
And well, I told everyone for the year, it's one of our top 5 season-long prop plays. Houston over 5.5. We're way over that number already. And TCU faithful, getting restless. So, you know, it's not 2022 anymore. They can't keep selling, you know, everyone on broken dreams. It seems like 1992, this team just not getting it done here. Houston was off last week, while TCU probably wishes they were. The Horned Frogs went to BYU, gave up 44 points on 447 yards in that loss. TCU, I think they're going to have to pass their way to win this game. I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball well enough. Houston matches up well against them in that phase, and 11-point win here on the road last year. Houston does it again here, 31-5.
And this this Chiefs-Colts game, very intriguing because the Chiefs' playoff hopes are on the line. And at home, -3 against a very good Colts team. Do the Chiefs' magic come up again, or are the Colts going to show they're the better team?
Yeah, so just remember this. I mean, this is not a must-win game for Indianapolis. They're 8-2. They have a two-game lead here with 7 games to play. 7 games in 7 weeks. There's a lot of time for bad stuff to happen here. So how have they done? How has Danny Dimes done against good defenses? Well, against the Rams, #2 scoring defense, not so good. They lost on the road. Steelers, hot and cold defense, turned it over 6 times. Terrible. They escaped the #3 defense, Denver, at home with a 1-point win. Escaped would be maybe the nicest thing to say. And then the Chiefs, now they got to play the #4 scoring defense, giving up just 18.1 points per game. This is a must-win for Kansas City at 5-5. Right now, if the playoffs started, they'd be out. And just think of Patrick Mahomes. Think about his top 3 down-the-field threats here. Hollywood Brown, Ray Rice, and Worthy, all 3 of them. The longest pass he completed to any of the 3 of them last week, 11 yards. His ball was flat. His mechanics were terrible. I think he's back against the wall. He's just like Josh Allen. He'll come back here. I like Kansas City. It's 3 points now. Bet it now. This line's going to close 3.5, 4. Kansas City, they get the job done here, 31-23.
Bills, Texans, the second most important game of the week in Houston, Lee. Tonight, Bills -6. Thursday night, short week, usually tough on the road team. Texans have been playing well. Bills defense ain't great. Is the #2 big there? Yeah.
Well, it's going to be a tough game here. Buffalo is all of a sudden, I think, found themselves. Here's what's interesting. They were using play action on less than 20% of their passes, and all of a sudden, last week, ramped it up to over 40, and they had a lot of success. So, I mean, James Cook is really one of the most dynamic running backs, and if they keep him in the backfield and either run him or use him in play action, they're going to have more success. So I think they finally realized one of the problems they were having. They do have trouble with that off-the-tackle, zone-blocking running play, and a couple teams like Miami ran them to death, but I just don't know if Houston, with their offensive line and their backs, they don't have an A-chain out there. So it's going to be tough on them here. No C.J. Stroud, obviously. Hate to say it. Well, at least you won the most important game in Houston this weekend.
Facts.
I like Buffalo here, 27-20.
Woody Marks podium game. What's your game of the week, though?
All right. Patriots and Bengals. First 5 callers call. Get it for free. 300-400-9741. First 5 callers. We're going to give them Patriots and Bengals on me. And we're rolling 33-11-1 in the NFL last 9 weeks. Going almost an entire year at 75% documented in the NFL. You want to hop on board? Lee's NFL Sunday Golden Ticket. 5 selections every single Sunday for 4 weeks. $197. That's it. Also, we have a UFC card going from Qatar on Saturday morning. Starts at 9 a.m. Had a rare losing week last week. This is what I'm doing. Lowest price ever. 5 selections for that card Saturday morning. Not 55. Not even 35 or 25. $5. That's right.
What?
I just want to make sure. That's it, $5.
Unbelievable.
I want to make sure everyone has a pulse and a credit card. If you have both, you want to get on it, ParamountSports.com.
Giving it away, Lee. Appreciate the insight. Yep. Good luck this weekend.
Yep, and we'll be back. We'll do it next Tuesday before the holiday. Okay?
That's right. Talk to you next Tuesday. Lee Sterling will be on with the boys on Tuesday. Jeremy and Joe featuring Joe. Who knows? Somebody much better than Joe's co-host. That's for sure. All right, 713-780-3776. Adam Ronis will be joining us in 15 minutes. Get you right for your fantasy football weekend. When we come back, let's talk about the big trade. I saw this trade. Somebody mentioned this trade. I almost called you Joe. Somebody mentioned this trade,
Will. You did call me,
I stopped.
Joe.
I said, Joe. Wrong answers only. Where's Joe today? 713-780-3776.
Not here.
But I saw somebody with the Mauricio Dubon trade called the Dubon the first time that Dubon was traded to Houston for like Michael Pipiriski, yeah. Alex Bregman's friend, the journeyman catcher who never made it to the bigs. Not many do. Somebody said it was the best trade in the era of Jim Crane.
I saw that too. Maybe you subtweeted it or something.
I didn't know. I don't like to bury people. Some other people like to do that though. no, but somebody said it's one of the greatest trades in the Jim Crane era, and it's like Verlander, Jordan, Dubon. Like it was a good trade. Don't get me wrong. I mean, Dubon was very helpful for you, and you got him for a nothing catcher, a minor league catcher. But to put them in the same tier as Jordan and Verlander in the entire history of Jim Crane and his ownership, kind of outrageous,
kind of
ridiculous. But let's discuss the Dubon trade. Do you like the Dubon trade? It's not being very well received in the city of Houston right now. 713-780-3776, Jeremy and Will on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. You heard me mention to Lee the most important, the biggest football game in the city of Houston coming up on Saturday. The Houston Cougars hosting TCU. Kickoff at 3 o'clock. That's going to be awesome. Going to be great. Senior day. So let's get out and honor these seniors that turned the Houston Cougars around, huh? 8-2 on the season. Ranked number 23 in the college football committee. Let's pay honor to these seniors who have done such a great job. I heard Willie in his press conference saying how this crop of seniors have done such a good job that they're always going to be able to walk right into the front door of the University of Houston. And he's right. And let's celebrate them on Saturday. The 8-2 Houston Cougars hosting the TCU Horned Frogs, 3 p.m. kickoff. Final home game of the season. Let's show them what real Cougar pride looks like. Senior day festivities. Let's fill every seat and turn teeny ECU Stadium red and send those seniors out with the support they deserve. Cougars also still in the Big 12 race mathematically. So a lot of stakes at stake on Saturday as well. Tickets are just $25. So bring the energy, bring the noise. Get your tickets now, uhcougars.com/tickets or 713-GO-COUGS. Come early, be loud, and wear red.
ESPN 97.5. Back with Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at East River 9. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
A text line's bashing Lee Sterling for saying Ray Rice and not Rashee Rice. Yeah. Yeah. That wasn't a great one. Throwback Thursday with Jeremy and Joe. We need to change out that box. I keep forgetting. Don't remind me, babes. I have ADHD, and I forget everything. I have the worst short-term memory in the history of manhood. All right, 713-780-3776. The Astros traded Mauricio Dubon late last night for Nick the Stick Allen. Yeah, I know. We're going to have to retire that jabroni saying Dubon like that. It's never going to live. It's sad. But Mauricio Dubon traded to the Braves for Nick the Stick Allen. What did you think of this trade, Will?
I think it depends what they do with that money.
Yep.
I think that's what I care about the most. I'm not all bent out of shape about a guy that – like, here's the thing. Mauricio Dubon was almost invaluable to this team because of the positions he played and the injuries they had. Ideally, you don't have to have that type of guy. His bat was not very good. Nick Allen's bat's on par, a little bit less. He's a utility man as well. You're saving $5 million, you know, projected with the arbitration. So it's all about what you do with that money, and you got to go out and you got to get a starting pitcher, and that's what matters most. So don't look at this as one move. Look at this as to see what this move sets up and allows you to do.
Yeah, I don't think you can look at the trade in a vacuum. It's part of their bigger offseason plan. Now, I am surprised they didn't keep one of Arias and Dubon. I would have kept Arias over Dubon, but I'm not losing – and look – I want to be sensitive here because Mauricio Dubon was a fan favorite. People love Dubon. I like Dubon. Dubon's very friendly, like seemed like a great guy in the clubhouse. He made Jordan Alvarez smile, and that seems like a very difficult thing to do. Like getting Jordan to crack a smile seems very difficult. Dubon was able to do that with his love and with his support. So I don't want to be insensitive to the fans that are reeling today because Dubon has been traded. He meant a lot to this organization, tip my cap, all of that stuff. Mauricio Dubon at $6 million is too much. He is not worthy of $6 million. You're not going to get return on the investment of $6 million. He can't hit a lick, and I understand Nick the Stick Allen is a worse offensive player, and for the at-bats that he had in the qualifiers, he was the worst offensive player in all of baseball last year, but you're not acquiring him to be a bat. You're acquiring him to replace Dubon in the middle infield. He's going to start a handful of games. He's going to be a late-inning defensive replacement. He's an elite defender, so you're trading an elite defender for an elite defender. Neither one hits that well. Dubon slightly better, yes. But people are But the one thing that I point to, like on-base percentage, I'm an on-base percentage guy, because if you get on base, that means you're not doing what? You're not getting out. And Dubon's going to slug a little bit more than Nick Allen. Yeah, I understand that. Dubon last year had a 289 on-base percentage. Nick Allen had a 284 on-base percentage. They get out at the same rate. Nick Allen is going to make far less money, so you get the savings there. And also, if you want to keep him around for a while, he still has some multiple years of club control. Mauricio Dubon was going into the final season. I'm not saying Nick Allen's a better player, but I'm saying I'll take Nick Allen at $1.5 million with years of club control over Mauricio Dubon at $6 million. Now, you spoke to the bigger point. It is very obvious that they're trying to clear money to sign starting pitching. They moved on from Arias, which is going to save them $4.5 million. They're moving on from Dubon, which is going to save them roughly $6 million. They already moved on from Chaz. They already moved on from Luis Garcia. Tomorrow's the non-tender deadline. It wouldn't surprise me if there's a couple more names on the way out. Taylor Trammell could save them close to $1 million. Logan Van Wy can save them money. Aniel De Los Santos, what do you do with him? He could save you a couple of $1 million. The big name's Jesus Sanchez. Jesus Sanchez can save you somewhere between $5 to $6 million. That it would make sense to trade him, I think, not DFA him. But I thought the same thing with Ramon Urias. I don't mind this trade at all. I don't think that you're really going to see much slippage. I got tired of seeing Mauricio Dubon have 400 plate appearances a year. That was gross. I didn't like it. I think this was a very easy trade for Dana Brown, one that I support. Now, if they don't repurpose the money, well, to your point, it will be disappointing.
Yeah, well, ideally, it's not Nick Allen that's going to get 400 plate appearances, right? Like, what's happening here is Nick Allen isn't replacing Mauricio Dubon. It's a two-for-one trade, if you will, ideally down the line with the starting pitcher, like you mentioned. And I'll throw a bone to all those that are upset about losing Dubon, because I am a big believer in clubhouse aura, and I think he added to that. I think you can replace that with other good people. But I am also a bigger believer that a player like Mauricio Dubon in the playoffs is worth his weight in gold. Like, I truly believe a utility man with late switches and the substitutions that you go through in the playoffs is extremely valuable. So I will say that about Mauricio. That doesn't mean you can't get that guy elsewhere. You can. And that's what makes some clubs really, really good. Like, really good teams have had that guy when they win the World Series. Like, back in the day, Luis Soho was that guy for the New York Yankees. He just was not a great baseball player, but did a lot of things well enough in big moments. Mauricio was that guy. You just got to find that guy for a little cheaper than $6 million.
Yeah. I mean, ideally, you don't want either one of these guys to play. Like, in a perfect world, Dubon's 100%. Not playing. Nick Allen's not playing. They have a role. Dubon had flexibility. He could play every single position. I get that. But do you want to see Dubon play third base or Isak Paredes play third base? Do you want to see Dubon play left field or Yordan Alvarez play left field? I agree that Dubon's the better player than Allen, but I don't think the difference is $4.5 million. I think it makes some sense to clear some money here.
Another thing is Mauricio's a really good player in a small sample size. He's not a 162-game type of guy. So he was playing too much.
Yeah.
You don't want these guys doing that. Zach Short was awesome. Alan Trammell Taylor Trammell was great in their small sample size. As soon as they started playing too much, that number on the back of the baseball card started showing up a little bit more. Now, they can run into a hot streak here and there if they're going to play a month throughout the season. Great. But, 400 plate appearances, ideally you go out and get someone else that can help you elsewhere.
Yeah, pretty interesting offseason so far. Definitely need a starting pitcher. I like to grade the offseason in totality. I don't want to look at one move in a vacuum. Would have kept Arias over Dubon. Now, the bench is going to be interesting, too, because I started to look at what the team looks like. If you didn't make any other moves, and I don't think the Astros are done, I think they still have a lot of moves left. But you're looking at, a Walker, Altuve, Correa, Pena infield. Isak Paredes is going to mix in a lot. What do you do with, you know, I think they do keep Nick the Stick Allen. I think he's going to be their last position player they keep. Your outfield has a combination of Yordan Myers-Smith, unless you trade Myers. And then your backup outfielders right now, you probably have a battle between Cole and Melton and then Jesus Sanchez, unless you trade him, which trading him would be fine. So you do have some depth there, though. Like, you know, Isak's going to get a fair share of starts at first, fair share of starts at third. He's going to be the first guy that would fill in if somebody got hurt. He's going to get DH at-bats, all of that. So I still think that the Astros have the depth, but like one or two injuries, it's kind of like, uh-oh. You know, uh-oh. So I wonder if they look for somebody like as a minor league contract that could fill in a pinch, like Luis Guillermo last year, somebody like that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we're a long way from this roster being finalized. So don't get all up in arms about losing a guy because of your emotions. You got to let guys go eventually. And
you can't tell people to feel the way that they want to feel.
I'll tell you
people
exactly
are entitled to their feelings. Yeah. Just because you don't want them to feel that way, they're entitled to their feelings, Will.
Facts don't care about your feelings.
Well, their feelings, the facts are their feelings are hurt. And you can't change this.
Right.
You can't change somebody else's feelings.
They'll be okay.
Pete says Yordan's so injury prone he'll get hurt smiling. Fair. Hair, I hope Doobie left some at bats, or left some bats rather behind for Yordan. Pretty sure it was a Doobie bat that he used for the cycle, Yordan, that is. They did have, like, you wouldn't think that Yordan and Doobie would, like, share bats because, like, one guy's a big hulking man that's massive and then Doobie's, like, you know, soaking wet, 150 pounds. So you wouldn't think that they would use the same bat, but they would a lot of times. Heather says, that said, we agree. I preferred Arias to Doobie for 26. Now you get nothing. Never forget Dubon's 20-game hitting streak. Never forget. Good memories for Dubon, but I'm okay not paying him $6 million. All right, 713-780-3776. Adam Ronis, you know him from Fantasy Life. He's going to get you right for your fantasy weekend coming up, and we're getting close to the fantasy football playoffs. You got to win this week probably to keep your team mathematically alive. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Will on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Your fantasy football team might have led you to drinking, and if you're going to be drinking, you need some Higgins Boat Rum. Why? It's the best. It's fantastic. It is so good. And they also stand for something. It's rum on a mission. Higgins Boat Rum, excellent for crafting your Texas-inspired cocktails. I've been drinking my old-fashioned with it. It's fantastic. I heard that the Manhattan with Higgins Boat Rum is very good. The classics, too. Pina Colada, Mai Tai, Cuba Libre. Maybe it's eggnog season for you. I'm not an eggnog guy. Maybe you are. Maybe the wife is. The significant other is. Higgins Boat Rum is perfect. And when I said that they stand for something, here's what I mean. Higgins Boat Rum pays tribute to our military heritage. It's named after the iconic landing craft that turned the tide in World War II. You might know that. Higgins Boat. Higgins Boat Rum donates 10% of profits to from every bottle to Camp Hope, which supports our veterans. So you're honoring heroes with every bottle of Higgins Boat Rum. So what are you waiting for? Higgins Boat Rum is the Texas bourbon drinker's rum. It uses the Percedo craft technology that we've grown to love. Smoother, enhances the natural flavors and aromas while removing the harsh elements that we hate in our spirits. That's not the case with Higgins Boat Rum. It is bold, it is smooth, and it is fantastic. Texas bourbon drinker's rum, perfect to sip neat on the rocks. I like it on a big rock. I'm sure you're going to like them all. Follow Higgins Boat Rum on all their social media accounts. You're going to get live updates, behind-the-scenes stories, and great cocktail ideas as well. It's a premium top-shelf rum at a great price. Get your bottle now at the Total Wine in Baybrook or HigginsBoatRum.com. Shipping to 48 states makes a great Christmas gift. HigginsBoatRum.com. Sip, savor, salute.
ESPN 97.5.
What a difference a game makes. 24 little
This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at East River 9. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Will in for Joe. Will Kunkel filling in. He'll be in for me tomorrow. So back-to-back doses of Will Kunkel. We go straight out to the HRP guest line, being joined by Adam Ronis, who joins us each and every week. You can catch Adam Fantasy and Betting on Fantasy Live from SiriusXM weekdays 9 to 11 Central. Find him on TikTok, Twitter, at Adam Ronis. A great follow on Twitter. Fantasy Plays gives you information on stuff you need to bet. course, has the WAP. We'll ask him about that a little bit later. Adam, let's start with the local game, the standalone game, Thursday night football. Maybe you're playing a single game daily fantasy. Maybe this is something that could be critical with your lineups this week. No Dalton Kincaid, Keon Coleman, he's not going to play either. Are there any Buffalo Bills that you want to target against this Texans defense?
I don't see how you can really trust anything right now for the Bills in the passing game. I mean, they just spread the ball around way too much. Khalil Shakir is coming off one of his worst games of the season. He's been one of the more consistent players that you can rely on. I know he just had a baby, so how much sleep has he gotten? That's a good question. I think it's James Cook, obviously, is the one reliant. But in the passing game, it's just they spread it out too much. So I think Shakir would be the one you consider. On the Texans side, I think this shapes up as a really good matchup for Woody Marks. You know, he's basically taken over this backfield over the last couple of games. It hasn't really resulted in great fantasy numbers yet, but the Bills are just getting shredded on the ground. They've allowed over 200 rushing yards in each of the last two games. So if there's any game where Marks can get going, it is tonight. The Bills have allowed the fifth most rushing yards per game since week seven. We've seen Jaden Higgins step up. I don't really trust him enough, but I think there's been some good signs there as we've seen his route rate increase over the last couple games. So I think that's good going forward. But this doesn't shape up to be a really great fantasy day. The total's 43.5. The Texans defense is really good. Josh Allen struggled against the Texans last year. So I don't think this is going to be a high-scoring game this week.
What do you think about the streaming options of the Cardinals offense? Because threw the ball, I think, Jacoby Brissett 54 times last week, and they had that one receiver who I streamed and picked up. I got him. I can't remember his name, but I picked him up, and he's got me a boatload of catches. What do you like with their offense, and even though they're kind of under the radar?
Yeah, you're probably referring to Michael Wilson or Greg Dortch.
Wilson?
Look, yeah, Mike, I've always been a fan of Wilson the last few years. I didn't have him anywhere this year, and I did go against him in two leagues, and boy, did that suck. But good for you if you started him. Look, Brissett set an NFL record last week with 47 completions. We can't expect that every week. But look, he's given a boost to this offense, and he's been finished. He's finished as a top 12 quarterback every week since he started. And I think this is another spot where he potentially could do it. Jacksonville's pass defense isn't great, and they don't play as well on the road. Marvin Harrison Jr. will be out again, so I think you're going to look at Michael Wilson as a potential guy that you can get back in your lineup this week. We know Trey McBride just scores a touchdown every single week with Jacoby Brissett, making him a top tight end. And then I think you're keeping an eye on this backfield, too, to see what happens. Bam Knight had a solid game last week. Trey Benson's 21-day window was activated. There's a chance he returns this week. I'd say probably not. Amari DiMarcato is out with a high ankle sprain, so if Benson can't return, then you're looking at Bam Knight as a solid play, Michael Carter as a desperation, as a piece of the passing game. But, yeah, I think Jacoby Brissett has given you a lot of confidence with the way he's played that you can look at Michael Wilson again and then even Greg Dortch in a deeper format.
How high are you willing to go for Jacoby Brissett? I was looking at some quarterback rankings for this week, and I was shocked to see how high he was. Are there some notable quarterbacks that you would bench for Jacoby Brissett?
Well, the one decision I'm making with Jacoby Brissett is him versus Caleb Williams. And right now I'm leaning Jacoby Brissett.
Wow.
Caleb Williams has not been great for fantasy. He has 13 touchdowns on the season. More than half came in two games against the Bengals and Cowboys, who everyone picks on. And they're running the ball a lot more in Chicago. He only completed 50% of his passes last week. And he's going up against Pittsburgh this week, and their defense has improved. So, like, that's a situation where I could see playing Jacoby Brissett. Dak Prescott has a challenging matchup against Philadelphia, but I can't go that far. I probably still would play Dak. Dak actually played excellent against Philadelphia in week one. The stats don't reflect it, but he moved the ball well against them, and then they had that lightning delay, the weather delay, and then no one scored the rest of the way. I do think Philadelphia's defense has gotten a lot better with some of the additions they've made since the trade deadline. But I think that's kind of risky. But, I mean, I could see maybe playing him over a Daniel Jones, who did pop up on the injury report today with a calf injury. So I think he's like a borderline QB1. Probably if Jackson Dart returns, I'd go with him just because of what he can do on the ground and playing from behind. But I think Jacoby Brissett, you know, has made it at least a consideration as a borderline QB1 for this week with the way he has played.
Who's a player that is you start every single week? He's an absolute stud, but this week you're hesitant. Is Josh Allen in that list, or do you still start Josh no matter what, even though he had his career worst game here in Houston last year?
I don't have Josh Allen, but I will tell you if I did have him, I just don't see how you bench him. I understand he had that terrible game last year, and the Texans defense is really good. It's a short week, but even when Josh Allen has played poorly, he's productive for fantasy. I mean, Josh Allen, believe it or not, he didn't play well last week. You'd be like, what are you talking about? He had six touchdowns. If you watch that game, it was not good early on. He threw two interceptions, and then he rebounded to have a great day, and he can just get it done on the ground, too. You know, he's got seven rushing touchdowns over the last four games. So even if he's not doing it in the passing game, you know, he can get it done on the ground. So, yeah, he could go out there and have a bad game. We saw him have a bad game in week two against the Jets where he had no passing touchdowns, no rushing touchdowns, 59 rushing yards and 148 passing yards. But you got to ask yourself, how are you going to feel when you bench Josh Allen and he goes out there and has three total touchdowns? Because even in the worst matchup, he can do that. So I know it's easy. People look at the matchups all the time like, oh, can't get it done. But you got to remember, it's also a tough matchup for the Texans defense going up against Josh Allen. And people kind of forget that sometimes.
Josh Allen or Jacoby Brissett?
No, I'm Josh Allen.
I say that tongue-in-cheek. Adam Ronis on Twitter and on TikTok, at Adam Ronis, Fantasy and Betting on SiriusXM on the Fantasy Life Show. Also has a whop and went 4-0 on Monday, Adam. You're riding hot here.
Yeah, it's been a nice stretch. I will say last week NFL was my worst week in a few. It was 4-6, though, and not to make excuses, but I had a Jalen Warren prop, and I think he would have went over it if he didn't get hurt. He had 62 rushing yards, 6.2 yards per carry, and it was 77.5, so I think he would have gone over, but hey, you can't do that. It was a loss. But over the last couple weeks, it's been good. NFL has won 24 of the last 38 bets, and NBA 17 of the last 26. So it's a nice streak right now, and you just hope to continue it. And again, like last week at the NFL, I'll take 4-6 considering going in it was 20 out of 28. As long as I don't have that 2-8 week, you know, you can live with a 4-6 when you take 20 out of the last 28. Because again, I always preach, it's a long-term game.
Yep. You're always honest about it, Adam. Adam, great work, great insight as always. Have a great Thanksgiving next week.
Yeah, you guys too. Have a happy, healthy Thanksgiving. Hopefully we get some good football this weekend and on Thanksgiving Day too.
Yeah, it should. It should be good. Adam Ronis, Fantasy Life on SiriusXM. Follow him on TikTok, Twitter, at Adam Ronis. Take advantage of that WAP, too. Adam, one of the best, I think, a sharp, for sure. All right, 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Will, not Joe. Wrong answers only. Where's Joe? 713-780-3776. When we come back, I have a bone to pick with Will. What is that bone? How much will it be picked? It is Jeremy and Will on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
All right, but before we go to break, I get to tell you about Burger Chan once again. And, you know, it's going to be a long night for me here at the station. Kind of like last night, working Soccer Matters once again. Here till 8, and that used to be a real problem if I wanted to get a burger when I was done with my shift here. The best burger in town, because, you know, Burger Chan back in the day, they closed at 3 when I started working here back in the olden days of 2022. So I was SOL if I wanted that best burger in town, but not anymore. Not the case anymore, because Burger Chan has extended their hours. Real heroes, true heroes. Not all heroes wear capes, by the way. Some of them make burgers. They've extended their hours to now include lunch service on Mondays and dinner service until 9 p.m. Wednesday through Saturday. So if you're going to be out near the Galleria area tonight or tomorrow or Friday or Saturday, stop by Burger Chan to get an amazing burger or an amazing chicken sandwich, anything on that menu, because it's all award-winning. And that award-winning menu goes beyond the great burgers, as I mentioned. Had a hot dog the other day for the first time. Got it with mustard, cheese, charred jalapenos. Was just amazing. But you can get, you know, get any way you want. Maybe you want bacon on that hot dog. You can do that. Burger Chan will hook you up. I also picked up a breakfast sandwich the other day for lunch because Burger Chan serves breakfast all day long. Got a bacon, egg, and cheese on a sweet sourdough bun with a side of spicy tots. So, so good. Getting really hungry for that right now. And if the Texans win tonight, you can get your own free side with your entree for free. That's right. They're partnering with us for the rest of football season for Victory Mondays, or in this case, a Victory Friday. So when the Texans beat the Bills tonight, stop by Burger Chan on Friday, and you'll get a free side with your entree. Order a burger, chicken sandwich, fried fish sandwich, hot dog, or falafel, and get free fries, sweet potato fries, tots, fried cheese curds, or curly fries, which is usually my personal choice, with your order, again, for free. Just stop by tomorrow after the Texans win. Mention my name, Brian. Mention ESPN 97.5, or say Go Texans, and you'll get a free side with your entree. And that'll be true for the rest of this football season. Burger Chan, best burgers in the city. Find them at 5353 West Alabama, and see their full menu at BurgerChanHTX.com.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at East River 9. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
No Joe today. Will Kunkel in for Joe. We're going to be giving away some Houston Cougar tickets in a little while. I don't tell you when. Sometimes I just... Sometimes like a flash shell. Here it is. Come get it. Other times we forward tease it. That way we beg and plead you to keep it here.
Act now.
Listen to us. No, we're giving away some tickets later. UHCougars.com/tickets, 713-GO-COUGS. Final home game of the year. Can you believe that? Football season's gone by fast. Super fast. Winning Willie, though. 8-2. Top 25 in the country.
Coach of the year?
I think he'll win some awards, yeah.
I mean, he deserves it.
Yeah,
he's
a finalist on a bunch of them. Like he's a great coach.
I was thinking about this because I heard it being talked about somewhere else. And maybe it was Lance this morning.
You listen.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
They were talking about whether Houston – I don't want to say what they were saying necessarily because I'll get it wrong, but do you view Houston – maybe you can't answer this – as a stepping stone type of job? Like Tom Herman obviously viewed it as that. Kevin Sumlin – viewed it as that, and I think if we're being honest, it's a stepping stone job for most coaches because the pay level just isn't where it is most other places in the country of the elite schools. Like Lane Kiffin uses Tennessee, he uses Ole Miss, he uses huge programs. However, for Willie Fritz, it could be a landing spot. Like it seems like this is a landing spot if you find the right guy. And that could be Willie Fritz.
Willie said this is his final job.
Yeah, that's the goal, is to find a guy. You always want to find the best coach, right? And if he moves on, that means you're winning. I get all that. But you really want to have stability as much as you can.
See, I actually disagree with that.
Want stability?
Ideally, I'd rather have it. I think whenever athletic directors hire coaches, they value stability more than quality. And I think that's where you get in trouble. Like, stability is important, but it should not be the priority.
100% that.
Yeah, that's something that these stepping stone jobs.
No, I agree with that.
That's what, like, ADs will look for at times. Kelvin Sampson, like, this is his final job. Mm-hmm. Different sport, I get it. But I think it's case by case. I think
exactly.
If it was a 35-year-old whippersnapper, do I think that if he won at a very high level at Houston, that he would probably go somewhere else? Yes. I mean, that's the reality of the world. Like, there's the most SEC programs. You could have a job there. Yeah, like you're going to go to the LSUs, the Texas, the A&Ms, the Ohio States, the Michigans, the Notre Dames of the world. That's the reality of the sport. So you have to be able to accept that reality. I think there are some schools, and Houston's in a much better position now, Big 12 versus like American Conference, Conference USA. I think there are times where previous ADs, and I think Eddie Nunez is doing a great job. He's not in this conversation here because he never hired whenever Houston was in the American and in the Conference USA. I think there are times when ADs would try to hire a coach with stability in mind over quality, and the stability you ended up firing him in 2 to 3 years anyways. So I'd rather a coach leave in 2 to 3 years because he's leaving you for greener pastures than leaving you in 2 to 3 years because you're firing him. I think you should always embrace being head coach university. And then every now and then you're going to get one that's going to stay for 15 years.
Oh, I agree entirely. I just mean that if you can have the stability, then great. If you don't, just realize what you are and embrace that.
Yes.
Embrace being a stepping stone and that you can get the next big head coach and get him for 3 years.
I think,
and then try to find the next one.
I do think it's case by case, but I agree with you that you should have the mindset of always hire the best coach no matter what. And then if the head coach is leaving you for a better job, then he puts you in a great position. And you should be, in a very good position to strike for another good coach. Mm-hmm. So I agree with you. You should embrace it. It's nice if they stay the longer they stay, but it should never be the priority, in my opinion. So I got a bone to pick with Will. Will the other day got me into trouble. People are calling me terrible things, by the way, Will. I've been cussed out. I've been every emoji in under the sun.
I've
been blocked by people. I've been called a clickbait engagement farmer because of what you
just
wrote.
Throw this crap out there to get clicks.
Bad words, effing clown, like so much. Will tweeted the other day, which the very beginning of it's very patronizing. My sweet love, Jeremy Branham. So patronizing of you, Will. I kind of appreciate it. It kind of puts gets my upper lip to quiver a little. It kind of gets a little curl in it. But my sweet love, Jeremy Branham, believes Davis Mills is a better fit for the Texans offense than C.J. Stroud, which, okay, like that can be received one way if you don't provide the context of it. But then I think it's the questions afterwards where I was really done in. If that's so, do you think the Texans should bench Stroud? Furthermore, do you think the Texans should move on from Stroud ASAP? So what was your, how did you receive what I said the other day?
I thought you were being too aggressive with what Davis Mills has meant to the offense, as if this offense is succeeding because of Davis. And you didn't say anything negative about CJ. You were more speaking about the system, which, okay, but if this is your system, then do you make the necessary changes to your quarterback position if you think Davis is a better fit in the system? You said CJ is better than Davis.
Yes.
There's no debate about that, I don't think, from anybody.
Then why'd you put the questions?
Well, because I'm asking you, because if this is your system, then do you make the roster decisions to fit your system and save millions? Because CJ's on the block for $60 million eventually. So do you do that with CJ or just cut bait now? Hell with who's truly the better quarterback and just get the quarterback that fits your system.
No, you should get the system that fits Stroud first and foremost. You should get the system that best fits Stroud. And look, I don't really back off the stance that I think that Davis Mills is more of a scheme fit than C.J. Stroud. Like, if you ask Davis Mills which offense would you want to play in that's going to bring out your skills more than any other offense, it's very likely this one. It's probably this one. If you ask C.J. Stroud to pick out his favorite scheme that he thinks he would excel in, I'm not sure this is his first pick or his second. So what I think that this offense does with Kaylee is I think it enhances Mills. It brings more out of Mills. It takes Mills from being a 5 quarterback on a scale of 1 to 10 to a 6, right? Like, let's just say Davis Mills on a scale of 1 to 10 is a 5 caliber quarterback, 10 being the best, 1 being the worst, okay? Mills is a 5. This offense makes Davis Mills a 6. So it's plus 1 because he fits the scheme. Whereas C.J. Stroud on this scale, where would you put him? Like an 8? 8? I would put him 7 or 8, somewhere in that window. Whatever it is, a 7 or an 8, you say 7, I say 8. In this offense, he's still a 7 or an 8. He's not being enhanced. It's not magnifying him. It's not bringing out the best in him. Obviously, he's still the better option because he's still way better than Davis Mills. Even though it's not an ideal fit for C.J. Stroud, he's still way better than Mills, even though Mills might be a better fit for the scheme. The scheme brings more out of Mills than it brings out of Stroud, but Stroud's still so considerably and substantially better that obviously the answer isn't Mills. I'm just saying that Mills is closer to like picking this offense as his favorite scheme than C.J. Stroud would ever be. And C.J. Stroud has kind of thrown some shade to this offense. The whole like, oh, it's a death by a thousand cuts. He's talked about that negatively.
I wanted to like, is that what he said about the offense, or is that what he said about their mistakes?
No, he said that about their offense. He said this offense is a death by a thousand cuts, and you have to be willing to methodically move the ball down the field. And I think Stroud is more of a big play type of guy, so he feels like he is being like given a governor on his style of play.
Okay, if you're right about that, I thought he said death of a thousand paper cuts, and I can't remember if I watched it or if
he
I
said it twice
there.
This year, once in a positive way and once in a negative way.
Yeah, I think at one point he was taught. I thought at one point he said that the offense was the death by a thousand paper cuts via false starts and crap like that.
This from Sports Illustrated. Just quick Google. Stroud calls this an offense centered around the concept of a death by a thousand cuts.
All right, then so be it. Yeah, I don't. But I also agree with your sentiment that he does not love this offense. That is for sure. I think this is also a moment where a snap moment in time where there's a small sample size for Davis Mills, and it's a positive one, and everyone's like, oh, man, Davis versus CJ. If Davis beats the Bills, then do we start Davis because right. he's playing well? And like, Davis does not have this production, I don't think, even just to argue with you a little bit. Over a course of a season.
No, I'm not. I never made that stance.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I don't think he's even. You said he's a 5 up to a 6. I don't think he's a 5 up to a 6 throughout the course of a year. I think he'd be a 5 up to a 6 for a little bit, down to a 4, back to the median, maybe a 3. Like, he's going to have more bad games than CJ is going to have just because CJ's that much better. Like I think we're
well,
in a
like
moment
an average of a 5, though. It's an average of a 5. So like,
right, but that. But my point is we're in a moment where the small sample size is positive versus if you get that to be a little bit bigger.
I don't know if it's positive. Like,
well,
the wins
the last
have been
couple
there.
Of day, yeah, but that's what – yeah, I mean, and he won the game. But the offense – this goes back to a different conversation, conversation.
There is a deeper and bigger conversation.
The conversation,
no doubt.
It's a flawed offense. There's poor play calling. They're not set up for success. And I've had this conversation on the Swarmcast, one of the best names of a podcast you'll
ever hear.
Better
than Rocket Power.
And – like, here's what, man, honestly, this is what pisses me off so much about the Texans coaching staff in the front office to a degree, because Nick Caserio was so, you know, demeaning and rude with the offensive line question in the offseason, saying, we're not worried about it, therefore you shouldn't be. And then they make so many decisions where they're questionable. And if a dumbass like me can question the city so position, why are you starting city so? And then it's not even like it lasted a half where we're like, not exactly what we want. Let's go back to Drew Scruggs. It lasted 9 plays. The decision was so damn bad. The decision to not kick it when you're on the goal line with the Titans with a bad offense that can't convert in the red zone, that can't get in the red zone, is a stupid decision. The decision to run the ball 4 times right up the gut, the decision to pass the ball, and you think the jet sweep option is the best way to get the ball to Nico? Like, there's 1,000 things I got a problem with before we get to Joe Mixon being out, before we get to even who your quarterback is. They're not set up for success with an identity and what they're doing with the intentionality of their game plan. Week in and week out.
I completely agree, but you have to have the conversation in the margins, too. Like, those also matter.
They matter, but it's like, man, there's so many bigger conversations to have before we get there. It's like, you know, if you and your wife are having problems of infidelity, who gives a damn about the toilet seat being up? Like, we'll get there, but can we fix the bigger stuff?
But if you went to couples therapy for 12 hours a week, you're going to talk about the toilet seat. Like,
it might come up.
You're not going to talk about the A subject for 12 hours, for 15 hours a week.
I mean, you kind of are. Like, you can't stop going over the neighbor's house during the day, honey. I'm going to keep leaving the seat up, you know?
Yeah, this is an interesting comparison. I'm not sure it's apples to apples here.
It might not be. There is that possibility. But the point is, we can quibble over the CJ and Davis Mills and what they bring and how much better the system is for one versus the other. But, like, okay, why the hell is City so at right guard, though? Like, the elephant in the room is so many coaching decisions.
But I think
those are all
conversations, though. Every single one of those is a conversation. Why is City so playing right guard? Why does this offense seem to get a little bit more out of Davis Mills than it does C.J. Stroud? Not saying Mills is better than Stroud, just saying that it's able to pull a little bit more from the backup quarterback than it is the starting quarterback. Now, this texture brings up, I think, the bigger point, and I think it's something that you touched on. If C.J. doesn't like the system, then why did they make the O.C. higher in the offseason? Let's discuss that on the other side. 713-780-3776. Will Kunkel in for Joe George. It's Jeremy and Will out at East River 9 on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD 97.9 HD2.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18-plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.